It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Jonah. We've just started it. This will be our second time studying it. Last time we spent most of the time going through many things concerning its proof that it is real and it's a literal book. It was something that took place in history, and so it's real. It's a fish story. But it's not the regular fish story about talking about how big the fish is. It's talking about a fish that ate a man. And so we're going to continue this wonderful study. And while you're looking up the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1, I want you to understand that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And that would be, of course, Parkview Bible Church. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to look at our website, and please do, got many studies there concerning the Word of God, our Constitution, Plan of Salvation, please look at our website. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, and we're going to begin the study. And today I'm just going to read down through the 11th verse. Last time we were together, we read the whole book, all four chapters. Today we're just going to begin the study now, and we are going to go to 2 Kings because one more statement concerning the proof of this book. And so, but we're going to begin here, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said to them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Now, we're going to end there with that 11th verse and begin with prayer. Father, we do thank and praise you for the opportunity we have to come together and to enjoy your precious word. And what a joy it is to study your precious word. I just ask that you will guide and lead us as we look at this precious book, this book of Jonah. And I pray that folks will not question that it is not real, not question and think that it's just a fable or just a story. It's so important that people realize how wonderful this book is and the precious message that we find here. So please, dear Father, touch the hearts of all those that are listening. Bring them to salvation. bring them, Father, that they will grow and enjoy the day each and every day. So, dear Father, please guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We did leave off. We looked at several things. You know, the Passover feast. We looked at the different scripture verses concerning the landing of the ark and the day that it was on. God does not do things haphazardly. As we study the Word of God, everything is just perfectly melded together. And it's so wonderful to study it. And it's proof without a question that God's hand wrote this book from cover to cover. I hope that you understand it. I hope that you believe it. I hope that you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus and walk each day with Him. Again, why the conflict between the 14th day of the month being the Passover versus the 17th day? The Passover stands and looks very clearly at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, His precious shed blood and His saving blood. But then comes the resurrection. And as we look at the dove, and we're gonna enjoy that today a little bit because of something that the word Jonah means, with the receding of the waters from the flood, and that taking place on the 17th day, which stands for the resurrection. There's so many, and Jonah is one of the most beautiful ones. And we've talked about Abraham and Isaac upon Mount Moriah. Now, maybe, you know, Genesis 22:1 is the scripture verse there. And let me just very clearly speak of this picture. You know, it was a three-day journey from the time that God told Abraham, I want you to offer your son up on a mount that I'll show you. And He brought him to that mount, and it was Mount Moriah, and I believe that it's right the same place where the Lord Jesus was crucified. And He built an altar. He had the men stop back at the bottom of the hill, not go up the mount with Him. So the only two that was there was the Father and the Son. And as we go to the cross of Calvary, we find that even that God the Father had to turn His back upon His own Son when He died upon the cross at Golgotha that day that He was crucified. We find here with Isaac and with Abraham that Isaac, again, folks don't realize his age. He was in the range, and I believe he was 33 years old, same age as the Lord Jesus. We know he was close to that age. How would a man that's 130 years old, 133 years old, bind a 33-year-old young man and put him upon that altar unless he was willing? He surrendered to the will of his Father just as the Lord Jesus. And so we have such a beautiful picture. And, of course, we know that God, as we said last time we were together, that God brought in a substitute because we knew that He would not have Him kill His own Son. But He had to find out where He stood, and Abraham was willing to do anything he needed to do to please God, to take care of His Word. And so it's such a joy to study all these things. And so we look at the Passover back in Exodus. We look at the offering of Abraham back in Genesis. And now we're going to take a look right here with Jonah, and we're going back to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. You wonder about this man Jonah. Is this just a myth? Well, let's take a look at it here. And we're going to look at 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings. And we're going to look at 2 Kings, the 14th chapter, 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. Now, we're going to start up here and with the 23rd verse, the reign of Jeroboam II over Israel. in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joas, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Helfer. Now, we're going to stop there, but I wanted you to see, look, record it. It gives us the time, and this is 800 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. We find Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now, let's come back here now, and let's look at to see the comparison. We're looking at a very same time period, 800 plus years before the birth of Christ, and we find now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. So we have the same man, and we have without question, because Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now, let's take a quick look here just a little bit, because there is just so many things that bring this together. Jonah. What does the word Jonah mean? You know, most words have a meaning. The word Jonah means dove. It's a symbol of peace, of mildness, as harmlessness. The dove, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 8, returned with an olive branch in its beak. And what that means, and you think, what's that have to do with anything? Well, that's back to the flood, back to Noah. Noah sent a raven out. And then when the raven didn't return, then he sent a dove. And the dove returned with an olive branch. What that meant to Noah was that the flood was over. The flood was finished. And so what a beautiful news that came to Jonah, to Noah, when that dove returned. And it's good news. We have the gospel. We have the good news. It's just like that dove returning with that olive branch. What good news that was to Noah. The flood's over. Judgment's over. It's a new day. Jonah means dove. How about Amittai? What's the word Amittai mean? The word Amittai means truth. So dove is peace and Amittai is truth. And so now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. So we have a man that should be of character by his name, peace, mildness, harmlessness. The dove, again, was used in many times. It's used as an offering for those that are too poor to own a bullock or a lamb to bring for the offering and sacrifice. A dove worked just fine. Amittai means truth. And so this man here that the word of the Lord came to was a man that should know and should proclaim the truth. The dove, it also is a picture of our Lord Jesus. He is of peace, of mildness. He is of comfort, of quietness. So you see the dove, Jonah, his name means dove. And so now once again we have a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. Truth. Now we need to go back to John 14:6 for this. And it's a wonderful verse of scripture. John chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus answered him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does emetai mean? It means truth. The sad thing is that we find that Jonah was very unstable. He seemed to be backslidden. He seemed to be cowardly. Yet God used him. God's grace is wonderful. I could fit underneath all those things. I would be the same. I could be called fickle and unstable and cowardly and backslidden. But God's grace is wonderful, because He is able to take His word through me and use it. Isn't God's grace wonderful? The words here, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, arise, go to Nineveh." To begin with, Nineveh represents the lost world. Sin. We're lost. We need salvation. You need salvation if you've never come by faith to the Lord Jesus. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what religion you're connected to or what culture you're involved in. Doesn't matter. What matters is right now, what are you going to do about Jesus? You know, we close every one of our studies up with those same words. What are you going to do about Jesus? And so it's very important that you understand and you know. And so as we find here now, the word came. We don't know how it came. Was it through a vision? Was it through, in the Old Testament, that was very common. And so we find it could have been could have been a dream. It could have been a person. God could have sent an angel to stand before him in the form of a man and speak to him and tell him, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And so as it represents the world, the lost world, we need salvation. We need the gospel preached. And God rose up this prophet. And again, do not question that this book is a myth or just a story. It is real. It happened. There is historic events. As we went back and found the king, we found Jeroboam as he reigned, and the word of the Lord came to him through the prophet Jonah, the son of Amittai. There is no question that this man Jonah is real. And if the man is real and the book is real, which we know that it is, there's no question that this fish story that we're going to talk about also is real. So we come here and it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." Was Jonah sitting? Was he lying down? Was he just resting? Was he relaxed? Was he comfortable with the world today? Just kind of everything the same. It's not a problem, you know. Oh, there's this sin going on, and oh, this is going on over here. But you know what? It always has been. It always will be. So it appears that Jonah was not out proclaiming God's word the way he should have been. He had to ask him to arise. Now, maybe he was just resting, but by what he does after this, it would appear that he was not just resting. He was very comfortable in the world, and he should not have gotten to that point. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, we need to be in service. We need to be working. And it said there in the 11th verse, knowing the time is that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Now, what do you mean by that? You know, you think of the salvation being when you trust in the Lord Jesus. We find that there are three stages, and that's not maybe a very good word, of our salvation. The first salvation is that when you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, He saves us. He takes our sin away completely. But you see, we still have the flesh. So as we live, we have salvation. If we die right then, we'd go to heaven. We will forever go to heaven because our Lord Jesus seals us. The Holy Spirit is in our heart, sealed by the Holy Spirit. But there's a work that goes on. Remember the laver. If you've been with me very long, you know in the tabernacle we have the brazen altar, which stands for the cross, and we have the laver as the washing. Well, that washing continues all of our life. And so now this salvation, we are working to be more like Jesus. We're saved. We're not working our salvation out. Don't misunderstand me. We are saved. But we are working to be more like Jesus and getting the blessings of God. And then the day that we meet Jesus face to face, will be the end of our salvation because it'll complete it. And so there's really three levels or three stages. But please, do not misunderstand me. To be born again, to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved, you're always saved. But then there's a work that goes on in your life to become more like Jesus. And that is the term that we're using here. And knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Yes, we're coming to the close of our life. The day, you know, I've been saved 40 plus years. There's going to be a day that I am going to leave this world. It may be today, it may be tomorrow. But when I leave this world, then my salvation will be, it's closer than ever. It's closer today than it was the day I got saved, as far as being complete. I'm saved. Jesus saved me. He's keeping me forever. So don't mix that up, because this salvation is a salvation that is it's a work that we have getting closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. So the point is, back in Jonah, he should not have been asleep. He should have been awake. And we find even down in the ship, he goes to sleep. And so this dove, Jonah, the son of Amittai, truth, God calls for a job. He calls them to do something, and he calls them to go to a lost world. Now, please understand with me, Jonah is a Jew. Jonah is a Jew, and God has called him to go to a Gentile city and preach the word of God. You see, the Israelites, the Jews, were never to keep that to themselves. They were to learn it and to enjoy it and take it out. Take it out to the Gentiles. It was not the Israel is the chosen people, God's chosen people. He gave them this wonderful message of the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That was to come. The promise was given to them. And the birth of the Son came through the nation of Israel. Jesus is a Jew. And so all these things take place. And yet we find here that now this Jew is called to leave his comfort zone, leave his little town, leave his people, and go preach the gospel to the lost and dying world, the Gentiles, to Nineveh. Now, if you know anything about this story, you know this beautiful message. You know that Jonah did not go. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going unto Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down unto it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We have a lot of things in that verse 3. A lot of things. To begin with, Jonah did arise, but he did not listen to the word that the Lord had given him. Go to Nineveh. If you look on the map, Nineveh's one way, Tarshish is the other way. Going completely in the opposite direction. And we'll always find that as a believer, that if you ignore the word of God, if you ignore the call of God, you will be going. You can't just kind of go the direction that the Lord wants you to go. You will be going in the opposite direction that the Lord wants you to go. The opposite direction. And so did Jonah. Jonah went the opposite direction. He fled. And if you'll notice the words here, Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa. So from his location, he went down. And any time that you are not obedient to the word of God, you will be going down, away, always. When you do not listen to the word of God, you will be going down. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he had plans. I am not going this direction to Nineveh. I'm going that direction. And that meant going on to a boat, because if you look where Tarshish is, it's a good distance by boat away from Joppa or from where Jonah was found, and it is the opposite direction. But it's even further than Nineveh. If he'd have went to Nineveh, it wasn't as far as he was trying to go to Tarshish. So he came down to Joppa. There's something else that took place here. Every time, very simple things here, every time you turn your back on the Lord, it's going to cost you. He paid the fare. Every time you go the other way, it's going to cost you. So he paid the fare, and he went down into it, and to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So we not only have in this verse, flee from the presence of the Lord in the beginning of verse 3. We have him going down to Joppa. Then we have him paying the fare, the cost. He paid the price. And then from there, he went down to go down and paid the fare and went down into it to the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so not only is he leaving and running away, but he also is taking folks with him. Now these are mariners. These are folks that are on the ship, some possibly travelers, others are people that are caring for the ship. And so we find down, paid the fare, and went down. This is always, always what happens when you leave the presence of the Lord. You go down, you cost you, it will cost you every time that you turn your back as a believer. Now, we're talking about believers here. Now, you're in all kinds of trouble if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. But if you know Jesus as your Savior, begin to work. Begin to serve him. Do not run away from him. Do not, it's going to cost you. It's costly, very costly. Look on the map between now and the next time we get together where Nineveh's at, where Joppa is, and where Tarshish is. and we'll see, you'll be able to see exactly what's taking place. Now, we're going to start that fourth verse next time we get together. But my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?